Recording.
So, as we all know, Rosh Hashanah is quickly approaching. So, we'll discuss some inyanei shofar. We'll discuss a little bit about the mitzvah of shofar. So, actually, shofar is described two ways in the Torah. It's described as a yom trua, a day of blowing of the shofar, and it's a day described as Zichron Trua, a day of remembering the shofar. So on Wednesday night, we went into a discussion of the Yerushalmi, the Jerusalem Talmud, who explains that those two psukim are referring to two different days of Rosh Hashanah. When Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, it's a Zichron Trua, because we don't blow a shofar, we just remember it. But when Rosh Hashanah falls out during the week, like this year, it's a Yom Trua. And the Bavli rejects it for different reasons. And they say they're really, Minat Torah, biblically speaking, both psukim refer equally to during the week and Shabbos. And they say, so why don't we blow shofar on Shabbos? That's because of the rabbinical decree of Gzeirah D'Rabbah. However, the Gemara did not explain, according to the Yerushalmi, we need two psukim for two different days. But according to the Bavli, if they both refer to Shabbos and Chol, then the Gemara never explains why we need two different psukim to describe one mitzvah of shofar. If the two mitzvahs of shofar, I understand two psukim, but why do I need two different psukim to explain one mitzvah? So that's what Rav Soloveitchik explained. He gave one of his 5-6 hour Yortzeit shiurim, or maybe even regular shiurim on it. I'll try to keep it to only 5.5 hours if I can. I don't think I need the full 6, so just hang in there. So he explains as follows. There are two aspects to a mitzvah in general, because Yerushalmi says it's talking about two different days. The Rav is going to explain we're talking about two aspects of the mitzvah of shofar. So every mitzvah usually has two components. One is what we call the ma'isa mitzvah, the act. You shake the lulav, you do the act, you eat the matzah, that's the act. And then it's what you call the kiyum ha-mitzvah, the fulfillment of the mitzvah. And 90% plus of the time, they go hand in hand. While I'm doing the ma'isa mitzvah, shaking the lulav, I'm also getting the mitzvah, because that is the mitzvah. Or chewing and swallowing the matzah, that is the mitzvah. But by shofar, the Rav explains, is unique in the sense that there are two different aspects. The blowing of the shofar, that's the ma'isa mitzvah, but that's not enough when it comes to shofar. There also has to be a key in shabbalev. There has to be some type of effect on us, as what the Rambam calls. Some of us have our own alarm clock. Some actually set an alarm clock for this morning. But what the Rambam refers to the shofar as a spiritual alarm clock to wake us up. Uru Yishena Mishnaskam is to wake us up from our deep slumber and to get our act together on Rosh Hashanah throughout the year. So there's an aspect of not only the Ma'isa Mitzvah, like someone's doing right now, but it's not enough just to hear the shofar. It has to have an impact on you. And in fact, that's what the Rav explained, that why is shofar different than the classical mitzvah of matzah lulav? So there's a famous kash on the Rambam, Maimonides, an apparent contradiction. There's a famous sugya in the Gemara in many places, Rosh Hashanah, Brachas, regarding mitzvahs srichas kavana, whether mitzvahs require intent or mitzvahs don't require intent. Of course, as I always point out, we're about to put on our talis and tefillin shortly. No one says before you put it on, you shouldn't have kavana. This whole dispute is post facto. Once you put it on, you didn't have the requisite kavana to have to repeat it. That's the issue. But everyone agrees before you do a mitzvah, you should have kavana. And also within this, everyone agrees as well, there's a mitzvah srichas kavana that is the Avnei Nezer explains in the Chayi Adam. Let's say someone doesn't know, they never heard of Hanukkah. They didn't see the commercials when it says during in the end of December when it wishes everyone. I know because it only says Happy Holidays today, and therefore doesn't tell us what the holidays are. So people never heard of Hanukkah, and they happened to take a. It's a romantic evening. They happened to take a candle. They happened to light it. The first night of Hanukkah, it could be any night of Hanukkah, because really any light works. One candle, that person doesn't know it's Hanukkah, has no intention of Hanukkah, he lights a candle, do they fulfill a mitzvah? So according to everybody, even if mitzvahs don't require intent, it's meaningless. If you don't even know it's Hanukkah, you have no idea what you're doing, that's not even, that's a nothing. And similarly, let's say you know it's Hanukkah or some other mitzvah, and you basically have kavanah to do it. And that second you light the candle, you're spacing out or something. So everyone agrees that's good. That's not the machlokas is let's say you're doing, let's say, shofar, and you know it's Rosh Hashanah, but I'm pulling shofar for entertainment value. I like to hear the sound. I try out some new tunes. My Baal Takei is going to try some new tunes this year. Instead of the Chua. So you want to practice some different. So that's the. So actually, the case is you actually blow the shofar, but you have no intent for the mitzvah. You're just blowing it because for entertainment. So that's the machlokes. If there's some other reason why you're doing the ma'isa mitzvah, you know it's Rosh Hashanah, you know there's a mitzvah, I'm just not doing it for that purpose now. So that's the machlokes, whether mitzvah srichas kavana or not. So the Rambam. By Hilchah Shofar, when he talks about the mitzvah shofar, he focuses on the aspect of kavana. That in order to fulfill the mitzvah, both parties need kavana. The one blowing the shofar and the one hearing the shofar. So the Rambam clearly paskins mitzvahs srichas kavana. However, if you look in Hilchah's matzah, Hilchah's chametz matzah, and basically it's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, the Rambam tells us, kafai v'achol matzah. Let's say it's the night of Pesach, and someone comes, you're walking down, you're heading over to your Seder, it's nighttime. Someone takes out a chair, not that you have to be sitting, but they sit down, and they put a gun to you and says, here's a shmura matzah, hand-baked, they tell shoshes a hashkacha, and they force the matzah down your throat. Kafai v'achol matzah. So the Rambam paskins yatza. You have fulfilled your obligation of matzah. So from this Rambam, it clearly appears the reverse. Mitzvahs eino srichas kavana. Mitzvahs do not require intent. The guy's forcing me to eat it. I had no plans on having the matzah. So that's the famous kasha on the Rambam. What is the opinion of the Rambam? Does mitzvahs require intent or not? So there are many answers to this question. There'll be a separate year. But the one we want right now is, so the way the Rav Soloveitchik explains is really the Rambam Paskins in general like Hilchas Chametz Matzah. The Rambam Paskins, mitzvahs, eino srichas kavana, generally. So why is shofar the exception to the rule? So that's what the Rav Yisod is, and we'll give some more proofs to it as well. That Rav Soloveitchik explains that shofar isn't just a stam, a regular mitzvah, but it's a din in tefillah. It's as the Rav Soloveitchik put it, normally when we daven, hopefully it's an articulate cry to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're actually reading words and enunciating. We have actually words we're saying. But shofar is what he calls an inarticulate cry to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kind of like a baby cries out, and your mother figures out what they want. So, too, on the highest level, we don't necessarily know what to ask for, what's best for us, but the shofar is an inarticulate cry, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu figures it out. There's a din in tefillah. And the Rambam writes, call tefillah below kavana, ain't no tefillah. Any tefillah without intent, because by definition, it's avodah shebelev. If you're not going to have kavana, that's the essence of tefillah, is crying, is beseeching, asking God. So if you don't have kavanah, really the Rambam Paskin's mitzvahs don't require intent. The reason why shofar is different is because shofar is a din in tefillah, and it goes with the regular halacha of tefillah. Tefillah, the essence of tefillah is kavanah. And that's why the Rav pointed out, the Gemara, the Mishnah tells us in brachas, one of the things we have to do during tefillah is to be bent over, kafaf, because not to be haughty when we're praying, because it defeats the whole purpose. Is we're humbling ourselves, we realize we can't do anything without HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore we bend over a bit. That's why a shofar, one of the characteristics of a shofar, it has to be bent over as well. Or the Rav Soloveitchik brought a geographical proof that the mitzvah of tefillah is linked to tefillah. What's the geographical proof? The geographical proof is when you eat matzah, we usually do it at home, but even if it's at shul, it's not in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. We shake lulav, at least we wait to halel, the din of nanunim. Why in the world are we blowing shofar in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei? If you're nusach svard, even in the middle of the silent Shmoneh Esrei, shofar, what's the mitzvah of shofar? It's not appropriate to eat matzah in the middle or do any other mitzvah. We don't read Megillah in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei because it's no hefsik. That is the essence of tefillah, that we want to have a combination of tefillah with words and tefillah without words, and that, yeah.
So conversely, if, let's say you were walking past the shul on Rosh Hashanah and you heard the blowing of the shofar, you wouldn't be, you'll say, the mitzvah of
right, so actually,
hearing the shofar.
No, right, that would be, that's exactly the case. That would be the. It depends if you right. According to the Rambam, you wouldn't. Right. That would be the issue with the mitzvahs, Srikas Kavana. That's one of the examples they give. You're walking by, and so according to if you held mitzvahs ain't Srikas Kavana, so then you could be. But right, the way the Rambam paskins, not right. And in fact, according to the Baal HaMor, there's a very direct link as well, because the Gemara refers to shofar. It calls it Tekiyas de Meyushev and Tekiyas de Me'umad. They call it the sitting down Tekiyas and the standing up. So it's a discussion. What exactly, which ones are which? We have a lot of shofar blasts. Really, I mean, let's go back. We blow 100 times on Rosh Hashanah. Where does 100 come from? So really, Minat Torah, we only need 9 shofar blasts. Why 9? Because it says the word trua 3 times in the Torah. And we have a tradition before and after every trua, we have to do a tekiyah. So tekiyah, trua, tekiyah, 3 times 3 times 3 is 9. So minimally speaking, you have to hear at least 9 shofar blasts. So how did it get from 9 to 30? So 9 to 30 is a discussion that what is a discussion is we went into Golus afterwards, and there was a discussion. It's not clear what the truest sound was. True is a crying. People cry differently. There's the shvarim trua. There's just the shvarim. There's the trua. So the way the Rambam writes it, really only one sound is the correct trua. And since it's a suffix, the oraisa, it's a doubt on a biblical law, we have to do all 30 just to make sure we fulfill our mitzvah. Rav Haigon has a different interpretation. He says really any trua works. Any cry does the trick on Rosh Hashanah. But it's to keep the uniformity that we don't want different towns blowing different tunes. So therefore, we want everyone in Klal Yisrael blowing the same one. So therefore, really, any 9 is good, but we blow 30. So therefore, according to the Rambam, we need at least 30 because it's a suffix d'oraisa. Then the minhag later on developed from 30 to 100 because also people, the Gemara talks about people who come in early and can't stay, so you want to get some in before Musaf. And then the people come in late, you want to cover all angles and different reasons. And obviously among the Balei Kabbalah and the Befarshim, they tiku kaf. Tiku means blow the shofar. Kaf. What does it have to do with it? Kaf, the gematria, chaf and pei, 80 plus 20 is 100. They say we know that's when Yitzchak was born, and that's why we read about it on Rosh Hashanah, that a woman during childbirth cries 100 times, or they talk about Eim Sistra, different reasons, 100, but getting back to the halacha is minimum 9 and at least 30 today. So the Baal HaMor says, where did this come from? Which were the main tekiyas, and which one were added on later on? So the different opinions, but the opinion of the Baal HaMor is that really the original tekiyas were in the Musaf Rosh Hashanah, during the actual Shmoneh Esrei. Either Chazaras Hashatz or Tzalot, depending which minig you had. But the main, and the reason why they added the ones before Musaf, that was because people who were elderly or sick and they came early and they had to go home, they didn't really want them to miss out on the shofar, so we got some shofar in before they had to go home to eat or whatever. So according to the Baal HaMor, there were no shofar blowing right up until Musaf. So the question is, so what bracha do you make on the shofar? There's a machlokes in the Rishonim between the Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam. What's the text of the bracha that we make before we blow shofar? Is it al tekiya shofar, like Rabbeinu Tam says? Or the way we pass, like the Rambam, it's l'shmoa kol shofar. We say the mitzvah is to hear, not to blow. Of course, you have to blow it to hear, but the main essence is the hearing. So why isn't the Gemara talk about it? Why is it it's a machlokas in the Rishonim? Because the Gemara never tells me the bracha. The Baal HaMor asks, why didn't the Gemara discuss the bracha? He said because it was never a discussion. Because according to the way the Baal HaMor learns, we did have Gemara. They used to blow shofar in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. So the Shmoneh Esrei itself, the brachas of the Shmoneh Esrei, the Musaf Rosh Hashanah, served as the Birkas HaMitzvah. There was no need to institute a bracha. Once they moved it up in a vacuum and did it in the middle of nowhere, so then they had to institute bracha. It's kind of like Rav Amram go and write something interesting, that the Gemara, the Mishnah, the beginning of brachas, talks about saying Kriya Shema at the appropriate time, at nightfall. So, where's the bracha? There's a biblical mitzvah of Kriya Shema. So where's the bracha, our mitzvah's Kriya Shema? We should make a bracha every day, at least once, maybe twice, that on the mitzvah, the biblical commandment of Kriya Shema, where's the bracha? So Rav Amram going to explain to Zohar and others, because we do it in the context, the Birkas Kriya Shema, we make the brachas, the Birkas Kriya Shema serves as the Birkas Shema. So the question, hence Rav Amram going to has a big chiddush, that therefore when you daven early in shul, and you have to repeat the three parashas of Kriya Shema later, he says you should make a bracha, whatever his text is, with Kriya Shema. We don't pass in that way, but that's the same concept. That's what the Baal HaMor is saying here, that the original institution was during Shmoneh Esrei, so we had brachas. But once we moved it before Musaf, so they had to institute a bracha. And therefore, you have the machlokes Rishonim what the bracha is, but that's why the Gemara doesn't tell us, because that's what we see. But the main point the Rav's make, according to the Baal HaMor, a direct link, the Shmoneh Esrei itself was the Birkas of the shofar, because shofar itself is a din in tefillah, it's a direct link. And that's what he also points out. There's another Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. We have a principle. Basically, you can use a shofar from any animal, just about. However, the Gemara says, the shofar shel para is a no-go. You can't make a shofar. We know our meaning is to make out of a ram's horn. You can't make it from a cow. Maybe the horns aren't so good, or you won't be able to find them. But that's not the reason the Gemara gives. The reason why a shofar shel para is a no-go is because the Gemara tells us a principle we have throughout. Ein kategor nase sanegor. When you're talking about a litigation, a case, you can't have the prosecutor and defendant being on the same. You can't have the same person. It's a little conflict of interest. Not that it seems to be a problem today, conflict of interest, but the Gemara says you can't have a prosecutor and defendant being the same person. You got to get two different people representing two different people. So the Gemara says you can't use a shofar made out of a cow. Why not? Because it reminds us of a sin in Jewish history called the Cheta Egel, the sin of the golden calf, and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is supposed to be a time of atonement, so we don't want to do it. So we don't use a shofar shel para. This guy on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol doesn't walk in with the golden clothes. He has to put on his white clothing before he walks into the Holy of Holies because of Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegor. Because we're trying to get atonement for the sin of the golden calf, so you don't walk in with gold on your clothes. However, the Gemara says that's limited only to the Holy of Holies, because we know the rest of Yom Kippur is wearing gold. So we see the principle only applies to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So Gemara asks, so last I checked, we're not blowing shofar in the Holy of Holies. You know, okay, some might say shofar is, but you know, most we don't assume it's Kodesh HaKadoshim. But so therefore, why is there a problem? So maybe we could use the shofar shel para. So Gemara answers, no. A very cryptic question, but since shofar comes kazikron, in other words, basically what the Gemara is saying is, that basically we see from this Gemara that blowing, wherever you're blowing shofar is like being in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Whichever shul you're blowing shofar in, wherever you are, New York, Toronto, Hamilton, the blowing of the shofar is being considered to be in the presence of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Again, that's what, because the whole essence of shofar is the essence of tefillah, being Omei Lofnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there's one more Gemara we could sneak in. The Gemara in Brachas talks, Gemara in Rosh Hashanah talks about, let's say you have a dilemma. You're stuck in a small town, I'm not going to mention names, and therefore you have nothing going on in your town, but you have one town next to you, someone has a shofar. Again, we're talking about Rosh Hashanah here. Someone, the town next to you has a shofar, so if I go to that town, I can hear shofar. Or if I, but they don't have a sitter, so I can't daven, I can't hear, do the tefillahs. But the other town has a sitter, but doesn't have a shofar. So what should you do? If you have a choice, you can hear the shofar, or you can hear the brachas, you know, the malchiah shofar. What should I do? So Gemara says, you should go to the town with the shofar, because shofar is the araisa, shofar is biblical, the brachas, the davening is only rabbinical. So they ask on Rashi. Rashi writes, when the Torah says in Parshas Emor, Zichron Trua, what does it mean when the Torah says Zichron Trua? It means reading the psukim about Malchiah, Shofar, and Zichrono. So Rashi says that's the Raisa. So the Kash, how could Rashi go against the Gemara? The Gemara clearly says the tefillah we read in the Musa of Rosh Hashanah is only Durabanan. And yet Rashi says it's the Raisa. So that's what the Rav explained, the Chasam Sofer, others, that when do we say, when does the Gemara say Zichron Trua, that the psukim are only Durabanan? That's when you're not, there's no shofar going on. You have to make a choice between shofar, but when you read the psukim in the context of the shofar, that raises even the davening to a din d'oraisa. And that's the pshat. And that's what, to summarize, that's what we explained. The Yushalmi writes, Yom Trua and Zichron Trua, two different days. Yom Trua is referring to during the week. Zichron Trua is referring to Shabbos. But we assume Yom Trua and Zichron Trua are applying to both Ben Bechol, Ben B'Shabbat. So why do we need two psukim? So Rav explains, because the Bavli is saying, we're not talking about two different days, we're talking about two different aspects of the mitzvah shofar. That there's not only enough, by other mitzvahs, you do the ma'isa mitzvah, that's enough according to the Rabbam. You shake the lulav, you eat the matzah, mitzvahs ain't tzvichas kavana. When it comes to shofar, it's not enough. It's not enough just to hear the shofar, but it has to have an impact on us. It's the spiritual alarm clock. It's going to wake us up from our slumber. And that's why he gave many, many proofs that the shofar is bent over, like we have to be during davening, that we had a geographical proof. We blow shofar in the middle of Shemona Esrei. Going to the Baal HaMor, that word, the Birkas HaShofar, was the Shemona Esrei itself. Ein Katego Nasa Sanegor, wherever you are, because the shofar is like being in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And when do we say the psukim take on a din d'oraisa of Zichron Trua? That's only in the context of hearing the shofar. So together with the Yom Trua, the Maisa Mitzvah of shofar, and the Zichron Trua, not only should we blow the shofar this year, but you know we should all be affected by the Zichron Trua, as the Rambam says. You know, the shofar should wake us up and get our act together and try to have a better year this year. And as they quote from the pasuk from the Satmar Rebbe, the pasuk says it's talking about Rosh Hashanah. It starts off, Vayreshis Hashana Ad Shana. The pasuk begins saying Hashana, and then in Shana. So it's in the context. The Gemara says it's referring to Rosh Hashanah. So the Satmar Rebbe says, what's the pshat? It says Hashana with a hey, and the end of the year says Shana. So he says, unfortunately, we all know at the beginning of the year we make our New Year resolutions. We're very excited. It's Hashana. Like in the gyms are very full in the beginning of January, but comes December Shana, I'm working out by myself. So too when it comes out, when will the Gula come? When Rashis, when Acharis is Kareshis, like we say in the Kedusha, and that's what the, you know. Not only should be Hashanah in the beginning of the year, but we should have a Zichron Trua that has an impact on us throughout the whole year.